I have taken two tour groups to Israel, two church groups to Israel on tour of the holy sites, on tour of the war sites, on tours of those biblical sites from both the Old Testament and the New Testament, tours that have included visits to refugee camps, and tours that help us to see and understand and comprehend at least a little bit what faces the Israelis as they are living in that broken and war-torn land. And one of the things that I've always experienced and always thought was just fascinating was the intersection of both religious and social life within Israel and how one is often overlaid with the other. It's true here, but we don't notice it as much here in the United States. But when we go to another country, it becomes more obvious to us, and it's true in Israel. On the Sabbath day, lots of stuff is closed. It reminds me of the blue laws back in the 1980s and before, when you couldn't buy certain things on Sunday. It never made much sense to me, but that was the rules and those were the laws. In Israel to this day, there's much that's closed on the Sabbath day, from sundown Friday night to sundown Saturday night. One of the things that doesn't work are regular elevators. Many places shut them down and don't run at all. But they always have one elevator called the Sabbath elevator that's always in operation. You don't have to push a button. You just walk into it when the door opens and it closes, and it goes up a floor at a time all the way to the top, opening on each floor to allow you to leave or enter. And then it goes all the way back down a floor at a time. As you can imagine, you get to know the stairs really well on the Sabbath day in Israel, because the crowds for the elevators could sometimes be amazing. And I'll never forget being in one hotel, it was a Sheraton, and they had a Sabbath day elevator, but the other elevators were working too for us Gentiles. And so never failed that when we'd hit the button and wait for the elevator, you could see the Orthodox Jews gathering around. They're going to let the Gentile, the Goyim, push the button just fine. They don't have a problem with that at all. Go into the elevator. I says, floor? And they all told me what their floors were by number, and I would push the buttons. And, you know, I thought of announcing what would be on each floor, but that didn't work in a hotel. And rode the trip up. Sabbath day and Sabbath work. We've lost an intrinsic, internal understanding of what the Sabbath is all about. We've really lost that in modern culture. With our constant work, the 24-hour work cycle, the seven-day-a-week work cycle, especially in the pandemic, when you could go to work in all you had to have on was a decent shirt, and you could sit there on Zoom, and they didn't know that you were only had shorts on underneath. I went to many clergy meetings that way, and it was easy, and it could be at any time, and often was at any time, especially with people who are in vastly different time zones. The idea of Sabbath rest is quickly evading us. It's quickly leaving our culture. In fact, it's left. It's already left the building. The word Sabbath is a transliteration of the Hebrew word Shabbat. And Shabbat's root is very expansive. It's made up of three simple consonants. Most Hebrew words are made up of three consonants. This one is made up of the sh sound, the v sound, and the t sound. Shabbat. Ancient Hebrew was made up of just consonants. The vowels were added later and added by context to provide part of speech, grammatical construction, and the context therefore determined what many of these words actually meant. Well, that's amazing. Because as you can imagine, change a part of speech and change the vowels and you change the whole meaning of the sentence. And this happens all the time in the Hebrew scriptures, all the time. Let's look at an example here with the SH, the V, and the T sound of these consonants. One word, shevet. It can mean seat or throne, home or dwelling, the end, a disappearance, a termination, a conclusion, the coming to rest of motion, the full stop. A stop sign has that on it. Or the place where motion comes to rest, the place of rest. And right here, you have the connection. You find the origin of the concept behind the word Shabbat. Instead of the yeh sound, it has the ah sound. And the soft V, therefore, becomes a hard B sound. It's the same letter in Hebrew, just has a dot in the middle of it. Shabbat is a resting place. The resting place. A place of rest. A time of rest. An act of rest. A way of being at rest. Or as is true in the Hebrew usage in the Ten Commandments, Et Yom HaShabbat, the day of Sabbath, the day of rest. A rest of the whole body and the spirit and the mind. The rest from labor, ceasing to do any labor. A day to do nothing. Ideally, absolutely nothing. The perfect way of keeping the Sabbath would be to stay in bed all day. Oh, wow, that would be lovely, wouldn't it? Just to stay in bed all day with my puppies on either side, TV on, popcorn in hand. A day of doing absolutely nothing. That's Shabbat. Rest. Resting of body. Resting of mind. Resting of spirit. Resting of soul. That's what Shabbat means. Remember, let's read it from Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day. That doesn't just say, oh, yeah, that's right, it's a Sabbath. Let's go get something to eat. No. Remember the Sabbath day. Be remembered to the Sabbath day. Be brought back into communion with the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work. You, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien or resident in your towns. Well, that means that a Gentile like me in Israel shouldn't be pushing the button at the elevator. Well, they don't call me a resident. They say you're a visitor, temporary. For 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Keeping the Sabbath means taking time out to rest, taking a definite, substantial time out. 1/7 of a week, time out to rest. If it was good enough for God, it's good enough for us. At least that's the idea here. Sabbath keeping, sadly, as I said, has fallen from our way of living these days. It's hard enough to find a Sabbath hour, much less a Sabbath day, a whole day devoted entirely to rest. We just don't do that very well. Even in Jesus' day, struggling with the Sabbath was not unknown. You can see it here in the story where Jesus is going through the field with his disciples, and the disciples are plucking grain and eating it. Eating it wasn't the problem, it was harvesting it that was the work. And when he was challenged on it, Jesus referenced an event where King David, whom the Pharisees greatly respected, obviously, ate the bread of presence from the Holy of Holies and gave some of it to his companions who also ate it. That was a big no-no. It was a sin for David to do that. In fact, it was as big a sin as violating the Sabbath day to eat the bread of presence, the showbread from the Holy of Holies, the bread that has been blessed by being in the presence, the Shekinah of God, so blessed, in fact, that it contains the presence of Yahweh Elohim, and only the priests were allowed to eat of it. But David took it, and because he was hungry, because he had need, he ate of it. And the Pharisees knew that. Even though it was a violation of the law, the need, the hunger, authorized the action. It justified David's eating. And then Jesus drew a direct analogy from this when he said, "The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Just as the need to eat authorized David's doing so even when the law said no, no, so also the need, the hunger, can authorize work even on the Sabbath day. It's not so much the keeping of the law, in other words, that's important. It's keeping the spirit of it, the essence of it. The meaning behind Sabbath rest is to be made whole again, to be made new again, to be renewed again, to be strengthened again, to be blessed again by the amazing grace of God, to be blessed by the presence of God, to be fed by God's love. And the Sabbath, and keeping the Sabbath, therefore, is not in contrary to this plucking of the grain and eating it. So, in case you missed it, and Jesus does this a lot, by the way, the Gospels do this all the time. In case you missed it, Jesus allowed for another example. Again, Jesus entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. They, the Pharisees, the scribes, the religious leaders, the hypocrites, and most of us are that, they watched him to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath day so that they might accuse him. And Jesus said to the man who had the withered hand, "Come forward." Then he said to them, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill?" You'd think they'd have the guts to answer that, because the Bible itself, the Hebrew scriptures themselves, say that it's okay to do certain things to save life, to help life on the Sabbath day. Even though it might be work, you can still do certain limited things to ensure life, to save life. But no, they didn't have the guts. They were silent. Jesus looked around at them with anger. I don't blame them. Me too. And yet I often wonder, given the importance of rules and regulations that we have in our society today and in our churches today, what position would I have had? What worry would I have had about those around me looking at me if I said, "It's okay to heal on the Sabbath day"? I have to pause before I get too judgmental with them. But they were silent, and Jesus looked around at them with anger. He was grieved at their hardness of heart and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. I mean, really, if you think about it, Jesus didn't do any work. He didn't wave his hand over the hand. He didn't put mud on it or water on it, or he didn't even touch him. It doesn't say he even touched him. It just simply says he told him to put out his hand, and bango, his hand was restored. And it didn't matter. The Pharisees went out and immediately conspired with the Herodians again. Herodians didn't like the Pharisees, and the Pharisees didn't like the Herodians, but neither of them liked Jesus. And so they conspired together on how to destroy him. Jesus, healing on the Sabbath day, was considered work, even though it was to do good, to care for the ill, to express God's love and God's grace. And as a result, they conspired to kill him, to destroy him, to bring him down, to put him out of their misery. Now, Sabbath keeping is very important. And in fact, it was his healing of the man with the withered hand that was an expression, a true expression of keeping, of remembering the Sabbath. Providing this man who was suffering with true spiritual rest. The end, the cessation of his suffering is an establishment of Sabbath, of Shabbat. Bringing to an end, bringing to rest that suffering. The keeping of Sabbath is very important. And yet we don't. How do you give yourself permission to rest? Do you give yourself permission to rest? God has given you permission to take Sabbath rest. In fact, it's part of the law. I read it earlier. You are called. We are called. We are all called to take Sabbath rest. To stop. And rest body, mind, and soul. As we move to the very end of the church year, next Sunday, as we move to the end of the church year and prepare for the season of Advent and that gauntlet, which is the month of December leading up to Christmas, my friends, we must take time to practice Sabbath, to rest, to stop. And drink in the grace of God. That's what Jesus was doing throughout his entire life. That is what the disciples were doing, even when they were working, even when he was working. They were Sabbathing, resting in God's presence. In fact, I submit to you that that is what Advent is about. It's not about shopping for toys at the store, it's not about decorating, it's not about parties, although parties are lots of fun. It's about resting in the presence of Almighty God. It's about resting in the presence of that baby who will be born, that we will celebrate his birth in Bethlehem of Judea over 2,000 years ago. It's about resting in the presence of God. Let's take a time of Sabbath rest, my sisters and brothers. Let's take a time of Sabbath rest and be about the Sabbath work of Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And may God's people say, Amen.